In the light of being Mother's Day, and we try to hit things as they occur, but Mother's Day, as it was recognized years ago, is not the same today. And it's been a long time since the old-fashioned Mother's Day Sunday service took place. Don't have the same thing anymore. Don't have it. What used to be, it's no more. Now, so in the light of that, you wouldn't want to do that kind of thing because then it wouldn't connect to our world. So therefore, 1 Kings chapter 17, God in his wonderful grace and mercy is sending a famine, a 3.5-year famine into the land of Israel. And it's going to be very hard and very difficult. And in the process, God is trying to awaken the heart of the king, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, the famine takes place, and thus there is great hardship, trouble. Life isn't easy. Things have changed, are changing, and what used to be easier, it isn't anymore. What used to be available isn't anymore. A gas that used to be 20 cents isn't anymore, as it were. They didn't have gas, they probably had gas, but not that way. 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah shares this with Ahab, and the famine is going to take place according to the word of God. I'll read verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew, not even moisture at night, nor rain these years, but according to my word." And thus 3.5 years are going to go by. Now, that creates, as God allowed that to awaken the people of Israel, a lot of things are going to change for the people. One of which was this widow woman, if I may, in verse 9. Arise, to God's word to Elijah. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Why? Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I've commanded a widow woman. I have made it possible for this widow woman who's going to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering up sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal, not enough to make a full cake, biscuit, not a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, just two, that's all I need, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm going to go cook this biscuit, mix it with the oil, flour, and I'm going to have the two sticks. It'll be plenty to heat up and bake the biscuit, as it were." Verse 13. Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do thou as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." I want to take the little cake, the last little cake that you make on those two sticks of fire, I want you to cook the little cake and bring it to me. And bring it unto me. And after that, after make for thee and for thy sons. So we're going to empty the barrel and empty the cruse of oil. We're going to make a little cake and bring it to Elijah. And thus we have no oil and no flour, nothing to make anything with. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, 3.5 years later. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she said, and she and he and her house did eat many, many days. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So God said, the woman is going to take care of you. God made it possible for the woman to take care of Elijah all during those days, and she was able to do so, her and her son and Elijah. So here's a widow woman and her son being weakened, worn, weary from trying to survive the famine, trying to survive the conditions of the day, trying to cope with them. And it had reached, when God sent Elijah, it had reached the very, very end where there's only enough for a little cake for the two of us. It reached the very end, the last thing, and then we die. So, in the light of that, in the light of that difficult time, in the light of that, God, here we are looking at our day. And we're looking, the conditions are carrying us forward, our country forward. And we're going in a direction that is not going to be like it was yesterday. That's for sure. Not going to be like it was yesterday. Now, in the light of that, and so in the process, carrying, looking, wrong direction, and the especially when it comes to the family, and the family, remember, a good family structure is the basis for a good national structure. You lose the family, you lose the nation. If you would remember reading in Genesis 10, and all the nations, and all these nations, and their families. When you have no more families, you have no more nations. They're all gone. Now, so here we are in particular looking at Mother's Day and looking at that, and the national structure is not what it used to be. It's not going to be what it was. The gate has been open. The gate's open. Everything is let loose. The dam is crumbling and the water is coming out. And it's already there. Now, it's awful hard to stop when the gate is open from keeping things in, controlling them. It's awful hard to control the water when the dam is breaking. Awful hard to do that. So now, we are in troublesome times. Now, the troublesome times are necessary because we're headed to the great troublesome time of the tribulation. We're headed there right now. So there has to be trouble. It isn't going to be wonderful and then trouble. No, it's going to be trouble into greater trouble. And the trouble is going to make for more troublesome times because the people are going to look to get out of trouble. In the process of getting out of trouble, they're going to get into trouble, especially with God. So now, so all the words and all the terms, the practice and then the terms, the use of words change their meaning. They change their message. And they all change. So in the process, the words, the father, mother, brother, sister, those are all words. And as you know, there is the movement to remove mother, father, etc. Not only in the schools in California, but etc. To remove family. Family's no good. Isn't fair. Family isn't fair. So the movement is meant is there, and they're going to change the words, changing the words. They want to make the words different and get rid of the term so that it isn't even available. So if you don't use the term disappears, and we don't have it anymore, as it were. And so therefore, in the process, by disuse, Mother's Day going down and down. I'm glad to see little signs out that says Mother's This Brunch and all that stuff. And that's good. But, Mother's Day isn't the Mother's Day that it used to be. And thus, the influence of society, its character, the characteristics of society, how one sees society, how one sees it, the older people see it from yesterday into today. The younger people only have today. They don't have yesterday. All they know about Mother's Day is what it is now. That's all they know. They have never seen or heard the other at all. So, whatever's going on, here it is, mother, father, and all of those things, eroding, being put aside, and making it impossible to have whatever. And thus, as all of that takes place, then you understand that things are going to get, there's nothing to stabilize society. So, here we are, people trying to stay in the right course, do the right thing, come out, be a light in the midst of the darkness, show right in the midst of wrongness. Here we are trying to do it. Over, if you could please, to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2, so we can make sure we understand the ending of the Old Testament. In the light of this. And in Malachi chapter 2, picking up in thought, chapter 2, verse 17, you remember Isaiah 5, 3. Woe unto them that make good bad, light darkness, bitter sweet, good evil, light darkness, bitter sweet. Turn it all upside down. So we change the words. The words don't mean anything anymore. So family is going to have a new meaning. Two fathers, two mothers, something else. Another new definition. But since God doesn't allow for a new definition, God condemns a new definition. And the world wants to get away from God, away from God's being the government, away from God being the center of worship, so that we can have our own thing. That's why we like politics and religion. We can do as we choose to make it. Now, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. God is happy when you do wrong, when you think wrong, when you come out wrong. God loves it when you have called evil good and good evil. Where is the God of judgment after all? God isn't going to do anything because we messed it all up. And God isn't doing anything, so therefore it must be all right. So we're going to continue onward in a downward path. And down we go. Over to Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. So the mood of the world, let alone Israel at that point, Romans chapter 1, God, where's that all going to head? And you remember now, the word mother, it's a legit word, husband, wife, mother, father, Genesis 2 and 3. And the word mother means to support, to sustain, support, sustain. It means to carry. To care, carrying and caring, before birth and after birth. Carrying and caring, sustain, support is the root of the verb. She sustains and supports. She carries the child and she maintains and supports the child. Now, so here in Romans, God, we're going to get rid of the words and get rid of the family as it was, as it should be, and we have no way we can do it legitimately without a great cost and consequences. And when that happens, you know where it's going. They already tell you where they want it to go. And God already said it will go where you want it to. And thus, Romans chapter 1, I just pick up, get the phrase, verse 24, because they changed the glory of God and were thankful in their heart. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto the vile affections, even the women. Their women did change the natural use into the man, which is against nature, and the man likewise, verse 27, etc. The whole thing is going to go from bad to worse. That's what it's going to do. It's not going to get better. The system, the world system, encourages the heart to go in the wrong direction. People going in the wrong direction encourage the world system to go in the wrong direction. We approve. We approve, society does. Now, Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. So, here we are trying to have family and honor family, father and mother. First commandment with promise, honor thy father and thy mother. And to do it. Now, having said all that, there at least should be that. Understand where we came from. God created them. God, it's God's plan, institution, family, father, mother, etc. Jeremiah chapter 30. Now, remember the woman at the well, in the days of Elijah, is in great, terrible strait, but God has taken care of her. God has taken care of her. Wonderfully so. Verse 5, chapter 30. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth prevail with child. Wherefore do I see every man, with his hands on his loins, as a woman travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Think, women, it's one thing for women. But when the day comes, it's going to be travail, like birth, for men and women, men and women. The terrible, terrible tribulation, time, trouble, is going to be a great travail, painful, coming out. Wow. Trying to get life, God is going to use a tribulation to produce life. Verse 7, alas, and that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God is going to be gracious to Israel and save them. In the middle of the tribulation, is God going to care for them? Yes, he is. But you wouldn't think so. You wouldn't think so, but he does. There's 144,000 over here. There's a bunch of people in the middle of the tribulation that fled to Petra and all of that. And God's keeping them, keeping them, keeping them. Wow. God's caring, but wow, what's going on? God, we can't do it like we used to. No, no, it's not that way anymore. Not for a while. Now, in the light of that, and over if you would, in the light of that tribulation, over to, over to Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1. Now, remember now, here's the, at the end of the age, the end of the church age, which we are in, and you have 2 Peter chapter 3, etc., and they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? And then you go to 2 Timothy 3, and there will be terrible and difficult times. Men will be lovers of themselves, having a form of godliness, but denying the reality of the whole thing. A whole mess is going to occur. When you come to the end of the church's age, historically, prophetically, Revelation 3, 15, 16, 17, I wish you were hot or cold, you're lukewarm. You were an abomination. I spew you out of my mouth. You say you're rich and you don't need anything. You're rich, you don't need anything. And God said, you push me outside. This is my place, like Israel's sanctuary. Israel's sanctuary sometimes, it depends on the context, God will say, my sanctuary. And another time he'll say, your sanctuary. It's your church. Right. It's our church. That's the trouble. It's your church. That's the trouble. Now, having said that, and then, you know, in our world, that we have all of that going on, and now go into the secular part, as we mentioned in the Sunday school, you have the baby boomers. You have the baby boomers that came out of the 1960, that kind of thing. And you got the baby boomers, and they're there, and they're trying to go whatever. And then baby boomers, and it emerged to the what? Generation X. And Generation X, it dropped another level. And now you have Generation Y, a third level, or the millennial generation. You have, that's now, right now, the young people, millennial. And in the process of all of that, everything keeps going down. Everything goes down. And the millennial generation is noted because of their self-love, love of pleasure, etc. Narcissistic, they got that, all that, got it? And they have their world. Their world. Their world. It's their world. They twixt and twitter. And every, this is their world. This is their world. What do they know? They don't, they can be anything to anybody in the whole world by way of the little website. Facebook, internet, all the other stuff. And they can do that. Now, what's that do? Where are we going to get family? You don't have any then. You don't have any. Don't have any. No. When people are sitting across from each other, and they're twixting or twittering. I don't know what they do. And they're sitting across from each other. Or they slide, and then the other person slides on the other side, and they are looking at each other. They're looking down at what they're doing, back and forth. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful way to develop vocabulary, sentence structure. Why say all that? Because you're living in a day that it is not the same, as we said. And to have, you have to understand, you're going to have to make it. You should know, though, you should know father, mother, family, children. Don't dare give that up. And don't give it up in the mess you're in. Learn it, relearn it. There's a lot to it. A lot of stuff is missing because you never, some people in our world have never had a mother or father. They've only had something worse. That's all they had. And then they go and get married to whoever, however, and I don't know what you're going to get out of that. I don't know. It's all they got. Now, that means if I don't know what God does, and God, you're going to have to help me. And as a mother, older mother, I know what it is, and everything isn't the same. Children haven't gone the way they should have, and all kinds of stuff. So here we are looking, God, we've got to have some help. So we can tell all the little things, you know, about mothers and that. I don't think so. I don't think that's what we need at all. We aren't in, when the war's on, my friend, when the bullets are flying and people are bleeding and dying, you don't sit down and have ice cream and cake out in the patio. You don't do that. It's another kind of day. It's going to get worse, and the consequences are going to keep rolling because they want it to. Now, Galatians, in the process, would you please know, God, here we are, male and female, woman, father, mother, man, masculine, boy, girl, here we are. We're humans, God. You made us for a wonderful way, and the world and system is messed up. And to enjoy what ought to be, it isn't there. When it's there, it is a veneer. It's a surface thing. There's no depth to it. No depth. Now, Galatians verse chapter 1, in verse Paul gets saved in the Damascus road, going to Damascus. And I want you to note some of the little things that help us understand that. Galatians 1 and in verse 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. What did he do? Paul, here you are on the Damascus road on the way to kill Christians, etc. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me, to reveal his son in me. That's what you're doing, God, right? Paul, you're trying to hang on to Judaism. And instead of understanding newness of life. And Paul, you need to be saved. Paul was saved, and thus, chapter 1 and verse 24, the people that saw Paul after he got saved understood being saved. What does being saved mean? And they glorified God in me. In me. I received the Lord Jesus Christ, God, into my heart. I received him. That's the only way God could come into your heart. The humanity of Jesus Christ can't come into your heart. God can do that. God pushes us, moves us in his Son into himself. A unique, personal, forever relationship. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, to chapter 4. Galatians in chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, picking up please, in verse 7. Well, I'm going to start a little bit before. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our heart. The Spirit of his Son into our heart. And what are you going to do, God? You're going to go and help me understand what that relationship involves. It involves a relationship to God the Father, whereby I use the term Father verbally to my Father, personally, verbally to God. My Father. My Father. Verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, looking to you, God, I'm going to trust you. Now, what happens when I come there? I got to grow. I have to grow. Little children, like we did in Sunday school, need to grow. All adults need to grow, to develop. Verse 19, my little children, Paul addressing them on behalf of the Spirit of God. My little children, of whom I travail in birth to birth, just like you read in Jeremiah 30 and verse 6. I travail in birth. Again, Paul, what are you going to go through that struggle for? Because I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to fulfill his purpose. When a little baby is born, they come out, and what is the purpose of their birth? To live. To live. The purpose of being born, travail, is to have physical life. Spiritually, travail in birth, the purpose of spiritual birth is to have life. Life, wonderful life. To be born, to be able to live a life, God's life, to live it more abundantly. Now, I'm looking, said Paul, that Christ would be formed in you, in your heart. Over, if you would, to chapter 5. Chapter 5. So, we have to grow, God. We have to grow and grow up and develop Christ in us. That's right. That's as a mother, father, brother, sister, man, woman, husband, wife, I got to grow. Now, in verse Galatians 5, we're reminded the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry. Verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk, walk. You're going to carry out your normal duties, trusting the Spirit of God. Skipping down, if I can, to verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So if I'm walking before God and with God, I'm trusting God, walking in the light as He is in the light, then I'm not having to sit down and wonder about the law, because I'm walking with the lawgiver, and the lawgiver is able to go and keep my relationship right, because after all, the law is given for what reason? To know the lawgiver. Why are all the laws given? The Ten Commandments. To wake up to the God who gave them. To know the God who gave them, and you live with the God who gave them, you're living within all of the law, exceedingly, wonderfully so. Over, if you would, to Galatians, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us exercise a unique relationship to God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. We're going to look, and the Spirit of God is going to produce a wonderful life. And that kind of life is the only kind of life that answers the terrible time that we're living in. Of any time, actually. Any time. It's that kind of life. The Spirit of God has to give it. We have to have that kind of love, joy, peace, etc. Walking, being led. We aren't going to answer. We aren't going to fix the definitions. We aren't going to fix the affection and the relationships of mother, father, loyalty, commitment, and all of this. You aren't going to fix that very much. For your own heart you can, but you aren't going to go much past that. So be of good cheer. Now, so God, are you going to be caring? God, you are caring. You care for. You cared for the woman, widow. You cared for Israel in the tribulation. And God, you're going to care, to be concerned, to have care, concern for. Over, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark in chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, you would recall, the Lord is asleep in the back of the little boat, ship, and in the process a great storm comes, great danger, trouble, and the wind was blowing, verse 37, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat upon the ship so that it was now full. In other words, the ship is in danger. These are professional fishermen that all their life have been in the Sea of Galilee, and they are afraid of drowning. Going under. Verse 38. And God, why couldn't you have made just a regular storm? No, I'm going to make a storm like nothing. I want to teach them. So, woo, a big storm, big storm. 38. And he was in the hinder part, the back of the boat, ship, and asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we are perishing? Don't you care? Aren't you interested? Don't you care? Isn't it a concern to you of what's happening to our world? What's happening to us? My family, my friends, my foes, my health, my wealth. What's happening? We're perishing. 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. He muzzled. And it stopped. And you have to understand that, because if you've ever seen a storm, and then the wind has to calm down and everything. And just to take waves that are way up like this and just make it like that, I got to tell you, I'd be impressed. I am impressed. Wow. And verse 40. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it you have no faith? Now, God, do you care? We're in the back of the boat in the storms and we're sinking. We never had this kind of thing in our whole life, God. It looks like the end. Do you think they would have made it if they never woke him up? It would have been interesting if he just kept sleeping and they didn't wake him. It would be written differently, wouldn't it? If they would have trusted him. He said, Where's your faith? Do you think the ship would sink? Over, please. Luke chapter 10. So here we are looking, remember Martha, Mary. And in the process, there they are, and the Lord was there, and in the and the and Lord stopped by there, one of the places he stayed. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 40, remember, Mary was sitting, verse 39, I should say, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was listening to the Lord, and understandably, and who wouldn't? Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered, it means to be distracted, drawn in every kind of direction, all at the same time, minds every place, trying to do 10 things at once. And she was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? There's your same verb. Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. She didn't ask her sister. She asked the Lord, would you tell my sister to get up from sitting in front of you and come and help me with the peas and carrots, etc.? Verse 41. Now that's verse 40. Don't you care? Don't you care? God. Don't you care my circumstances? Well, how come you cook so much? Why don't you just have a hot dog and relax? Well, forget the hot dog. Why couldn't we just have something and just relax? Just relax. Forget eating. No, we got to eat. It's the proper thing to do. Hospitality. Now forget it. It isn't important. What's important is Mary is taking advantage of my presence. And thus in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, why art thou careful and troubled about many things? And the word careful there, careful, is to be divided in the mind all over the place. And you're divided in the mind trying to figure everything out, and you can't do it. You can't do it. And you're trying to make it all go, and you need help, and somehow, God, the government isn't helping, and the people aren't helping, and the job isn't helping, and the doctor isn't helping. God, help! Ah, don't you care, God? Don't you care? You don't care about my work out on the sea. You don't care about me at home. Here I am trying to make life work. The world doesn't care, but I'm trying to make it work, Lord. I care. I want to be a mother. I want to be the father. I want to be whatever. The woman. I want to be it. Wow. Over, if you would, to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, you would recall in verse 6, a little context, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in due time. How are you going to? Now, you've got to know that. It's easy to do, but the trouble is there's an enemy that doesn't want you to enjoy being saved. Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And he's coming to get his system, the demons, the world system, is all what? Keep you from enjoying the wonderful life that God gives. To appreciate being an object of God's concern, an object of God's care, to get you to forget all that, to lose all that, to change the words, the meanings, the practice, and make it so that you couldn't find your way back to God. You don't even know there's a Bible anymore. You don't even know there's a book of Genesis. Think of all the people that don't know. Never read, never seen, don't care. Caught. Where did that down, everything goes? Now, thus, in the light of that, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, because the enemy is out there to make it cause you to not have any enjoyment of being saved. Therefore, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now don't slip out from under the verse 6, stay under the mighty hand of God. Don't try to get out of it. It's the safest, surest place in all of forever, under the mighty hand of God. Don't try to get out. If I could just do it, no, don't get rebellious. Be wonderfully submissive. surrender, commit, relax, rest. Put all your weight down upon him. You don't have to run anywhere. No panic. No panic. Nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing to move. Stay fixed upon our Lord. And don't move. Now, God. And what am I going to do? Casting all our care upon him, because he is caring for us. All the things that divide up our mind, all the things like Martha, all the things that divide up her mind, we're going to look to God and take all of those things and put him down at the foot of the cross. God, are you confused about any of this? No. Is there anything on my little inventory, my agenda, that is out of place? Is there anything I'm worried about that I shouldn't? Wanting, and I shouldn't. I should be resting in you, God, using my God-given common sense to exercise a biblical sense to enjoy who you are. I want to be the mother, the man. I want to be the person that I am. I want to be a light in the darkness. I want to help the children. I have a lousy situation in the world about men, about women, all kinds of stuff that's cuckoo and no good. And I can't fix it. I can't fix what goes on in school. I can't fix what goes on the television, the website, or the computer, or anything else. God, I can only keep my own heart right. And God, that's what you care about. Casting all your care upon me, said God, because I am caring for you. I am caring for you. The reason I am caring for you, you are the center of my concern. On account of you, I am surrounding you, is the word, little preposition. I'm surrounding you with my care, like that. I'm putting a big wall around you, just like that. But no one, God said, I do. And isn't that the most important person in all the world? Everyone could say they care about me. I don't care that they care or don't care. But boy, if I don't have your care, God, I'm in trouble. The widow woman will be in trouble. Israel will be in trouble. The world is in trouble. I don't want to be in trouble, God. Thank you for helping me to be the woman, the man, the mother. I don't know how to do it, God. But God, you do. I want to at least be a light in the darkness. I at least want to have life. So that I exercise life, L-I-F-E, a unique relationship to you, God. I want to exercise that life. I can do that. I can't explain a whole lot. And a whole lot of things I'm not even doing right. But God, in all of it, I want to make sure there's light and life, L-I-F-E. And God, you can work it all out. You can make it all come out all right, even though it's all cuckoo and wrong. You can make it come out. You'll care. God said, I do care. I do care. I do care. Letting all be upon him, leaving all with him, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, up in Boston recently where you had the bombings, up in Cambridge, Auburn Hospital, right up there, down the street. And here's Auburn Hospital, and just down the street is a little cemetery. And in the process, in the cemetery, you would recall, I shared it with you before, there's a little mound, a little shrubbery, a little bit of grass, a little stone, and there in the little headstone, on the headstone is a little piece of marble that if you look hard, you'll see it. There's a little piece of marble. And the finger just has a finger on the stone, little finger pointing up. And then the word mother, no name. Just up, mother. How's that? Isn't that impressive? Wow. Now, in the light of that, in the light of the flowers, I know it's Mother's Day, so I'm looking at the flowers to show you that I'm very womanish. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design. But I cannot unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. The flower God opens so sweetly in my hands would fade and die. If I cannot unfold the rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll trust him for his leading. Every moment of every day, I'll look to him for his guidance, each step of the pilgrim way. For the pathway that leads before me, my heavenly Father knows. I'll trust him to unfold the moment, just as he unfolds the rose. Simple as that. Just think of Sunday school. Would God, you can only be a gardener to your children. A gardener, you can do everything, but you can't make the plant be what it isn't. The plant has to develop. And your job is to encourage people to develop, to get saved. And God cares. I think that's the main thing. God just cares. That's all. I'm glad he cares. I don't know who cares. You say, well, I care. And you don't even understand the problem. So how can you really care? But God does. And God knows the terrible the consequences of where it's headed. God knows. We don't know. What do we know? But God does. And God cares. That's what's important. God loves you. That's what's important. Who loves me? Who loves me? You know. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't trust anyone's, no offense. I wouldn't trust anyone's love. I trust God's so that I can live with the rest of it. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for surrounding us with your concern, God. You have us the object of your personal interest for your own wonderful plan and purpose, so that, God, when everything seems to be not right, it's all right with you. When we trust you with all our heart, then we are in the right place to live in an all wrong world. God, thank you very, very much. So set apart all of it, God, for the people who know that you're not as Lord and Savior. Encourage the mothers, the women folk, God, in these days that are hard, not easy. And the thing isn't getting easier. God, encourage them as the erosion takes place. May we find ourselves on a firmer, solider footing as we go through, as the muck and mire is increased, but the solid ground is more sure. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Could we sing a stanza of 579? 579, if you could. Change the hymn. 579.